Welcome to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. Get Your Barbecue On is a show for backyard cooks looking for tips and insight into barbecuing, grilling, entertaining, and enjoying themselves outside with delicious food. Each week, we'll share some barbecuing and grilling tips, techniques, recipes, and a few pitmaster secrets you just have to know. Every show will feature fun, interesting, and informative guests. And we'll also answer listener questions. Please send your questions to getyourbbqon@gmail.com or visit our website at kenshardwoodbbq.com. Just click podcast and you can listen there. Welcome to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander, the podcast. I'm here today with my co-host, the doctor.
Hey,
Dr. Andre Jones.
What's going on, man?
Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
All right. We've got a fantastic show planned today.
Yeah. What we got going on?
Well, first thing is we're going to talk about chops today.
Ooh, chops.
Yeah.
Lamb chop? Pork chop?
Could be.
Oh, okay. Any chop?
Either any chop.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to talk about grilling chops today.
Cool.
For sure, you know. Grilling is
fast and high heat.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Could you give the doctor a golden star?
Woo-hoo! All right, that's
all
right.
All right. Woo-hoo! Thanks, Harley. Give him a golden star.
Yes. All right.
Okay, but we have some really great guests today.
Ooh, who is it?
We're going to talk a lot about food today.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of talk about food because we have the kings of cooking.
No way.
On the show today.
Here on this show. No way.
Yeah.
How do we get so lucky?
We'll have to ask them.
All right, cool. All right. The first question off the bat.
Right. But the Kings of Cooking,
yeah.
You know, they're a group right here in Tucson. They were organized to help Black businesses, organizations, mm-hmm. and students around town create and develop community over good food.
Oh, I love it.
So they say they know a lot about good food.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah. So it ought to be a good conversation.
Absolutely. No comparison, but just, you know, we just want to know.
Yeah. You know, we do not compare on the show.
No.
Everybody does their own thing, and that's a good thing.
It is. Their own style.
Everybody has their own style.
That's right.
Great. Fantastic. So stay tuned for the second half of the show, and we guarantee you a great time with the Kings of Cooking.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
But for now.
In the meantime, in between time.
Yeah, it's all about chops.
All right.
And we're talking about meat chops. So we're talking, it could be pork chops, lamb chops, but a chop.
Yeah.
It's just a term. It's a little different than a steak, but a chop is basically a cut of meat that's, say, perpendicular to the spine of the animal. And it usually contains the rib or a riblet part of the vertebrae.
Oh, got it.
Right. So you got your center cut pork chops or you got your rib pork chops.
Right.
Right. And they have a part of the bone on there.
Okay.
And then when you talk about beef, though, even though it's the same cut of meat, they call it a steak, but like a ribeye.
Yeah.
Those that have the bone.
Right.
It's really the same thing, but. Hmm. They use just a different term when you're not talking about beef. They call it a chop. So with lamb chops and pork chops, it's that same rib cut, but just by a different name.
Okay. All right. I was wondering because I actually saw one at the store the other day, and I was like, lamb chop, steak, they look like the same thing.
Yeah, so that is the cut of meat. And where do you find chops? You can find chops at almost any meat store, any of your local meat stores or the grocery store. Grocery store has pork chops for sure.
Yep.
Any day, every day of the week,
Absolutely.
You can find pork chops. And you can also go right over to, when you go to the grocery store, go over to the meat counter and you can get your chops. If you want them a little thicker, a little thinner, they can cut those for you.
There. That's awesome.
So, okay. So that's where you find them.
Yeah.
So how do we prep
these chops? Yeah, that was my next question. How do we prep them? Same way or a little bit different?
It's the same way. The same way you would prep a steak. Mm-hmm. Same way. It's whatever flavor profile you're looking for. Also, I've seen recipes where you could take the chop and marinate the chop if you'd like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, come up with a nice marinade. But personally, I just like to come up with a dry seasoning.
Oh,
personally.
Really?
And you could call it a rub. Maybe it's not so much a rub, but just the dry seasoning with seasonings like garlic, onion mm-hmm. powder, different kinds of things, whatever kind of flavor profile you're looking for. Sometimes it just depends on what it is. Sometimes I might add thyme or something like that. Rosemary, just depends. Mm. And then also there's sometimes a little cumin or whatever. It just depends on what you want.
All right. What do you want that flavor profile to be?
I know from my travels to the Middle East, and there was a lot of the mead and different things, and they were seasoned with, they use a lot of cumin.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of cumin in the flavors, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Used to travel to Pakistan, and there mm-hmm. they had the most delicious. They were really spicy, though.
Oh, I'm sure.
Lamb chops, and they were grilled, and they had you could taste some cumin in there. Lamb chops and in the seasoning there. So
yeah.
It's just good. So it's just kind of whatever flavor profile you're looking for.
Got it.
And just get those, you know, season them up real good. You can let them sit for a minute. You can put them in the refrigerator for, you know, an hour or so, whatever.
Yeah.
Or you could just season them and just slap them straight on the grill.
Wow. Okay.
Just
you don't have to leave them overnight or anything?
No, you don't have to leave them overnight. Or anything. Even if you marinated them, you wouldn't have to leave them overnight. You could leave them in the refrigerator for a couple of hours or something like that.
Okay. Off
and
it goes.
Marinate them, because we're only talking about a chop.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a big roast or anything like that.
Right. So, okay.
Right. And then also with a chop, or you can still, we can go back to putting heavy little spritz if you want to.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to have some flavors in spritz.
Sure.
Yeah. In a little bottle, and you can put that spritz together. Mm-hmm. Again, it could be any kind of juice, whatever flavors you want to. You can infuse some dry seasonings in the water by...
Oh, cool.
Yeah, dry seasonings in the water by taking some hot water and then adding the dry seasonings. Let them sit for a while, sit for an hour or so. Strain them, and then you can put them in your bottle.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right. So we can do it that way, and you could... infuse, you know, spray those chops as they're on the grill.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
I like that.
So there's one other thing I like to do with chops.
What's
and,
that?
It's like a sauce that I like to prepare for the chops.
A sauce for the
and
chops?
And I do it, right. And I do it with lamb chops and also with pork chops at times. Mm. And it's a contrast. And because my pork chops or whatever, they more or less have like a salty kind of flavor, that kind of spicy, salty flavor. But then what I like to do is I like a berry reduction.
Berry reduction.
A berry reduction. So what I do is I take a saucepan and I take berries. Like my favorite are blueberries. Mm. Sometimes I might add a little strawberries to them, but most of the time it's blueberries.
Okay.
And I put them and then I just cook it down. And as it's cooking down, I add sugar.
Ooh.
And so as it cooks down and it cooks all the way down, you get this really great, it's kind of thick kind of sauce.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so when the chops are ready,
yeah,
and you're ready to serve them, you just, when you plate them,
yeah,
you just take that sauce and you drizzle it on the meat.
Ooh.
And that contrast, though, you know, that sweet berry taste with the other flavors that you use to season the meat, it is fantastic. Mm.
Wow, I've never heard of that. That's really cool.
Right. And so since these chops are not going to be on the grill that long, it's fast, and especially depending on their thickness, you want to go ahead and get that berry reduction going.
Right.
And, you know, when you start prepping. And so it's ready by the time the chops are ready.
Nice.
All right. So, again, it's one of my favorite things when I'm doing lamb and pork chops is this berry reduction.
That sounds good. Yeah, this is really good.
It's really good. It's really delicious. Mm. Okay, so cooking.
Yes.
We're going to do the grill setup is what I'm talking about now.
Yeah.
And so we're going to set it up for direct heat.
Right.
We're going to have a high zone and a medium zone.
Oh, really?
Okay, yeah. High zone, medium zone.
Okay.
And so the cooking temperature, we're going to cook it high. We're going to cook it like 450 degrees for the high side. And
yeah.
Then we're going to have a medium side.
Got it.
And that's it. So one of the things we want to make sure we do as we, you know, we want to use some type of Pam or some type of oil on the grate so the meat doesn't stick. So we'll do that. And then we're going to take the chops, pull them out of your fridge or whatever you did with them right after you season them. And then we're going to put them on that high side, right? You want to get some nice grill marks, leave it on there for 2-3 minutes.
Sure. Get the grill marks on there.
Get some, you know, really good grill marks, say 3 minutes, flip it over another 3 minutes, and then we'll take it and put it on the medium side and let it finish off.
Okay.
And so you really want to start with that hot grill. It should sizzle when you drop
that. It should be nice and hot as soon as you get in there.
And get those nice grill marks, like I said. Mm-hmm. And so these chops are ready at 145 degrees.
Wow.
Because that's when pork is ready at 145.
Right.
Right. So that's the ideal temperature. It's ready there. You're not going to, and a lot of people have issues with pork and, you know, because of the olden days and the olden times where people associate a lot of foodborne illnesses with pork.
Right.
At 145, it's fine.
Oh, you're
not going, 145 for 15 seconds. Once it reaches that temperature, it's safe to eat.
Nice.
Now, some people might want their pork a little well done or, you know, medium well or whatever. And they may want it to go longer. That's fine. But at 145, it's ready. And then some people may not want their pork. They may want their pork a little less done.
Right. Okay.
Right.
The degrees of done.
Right. And I think we talked about that before. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to take it off before it gets 145 because they want it to be pink or sometimes. And a lot of times when you go to these high-end restaurants, they will still ask you what temperature you want your pork chop or whatever. And, you know, again, little disclaimer here is like, you know, the USDA says that pork is done at 145 and anything below that, you are taking a risk. So these high-end restaurants, they know where their meat came from and hopefully they've kept track of how it's been stored and all those things. And so they can offer it. But a lot of times, even in their menu, there's a little disclaimer.
Right.
So 145, you're fine.
Good.
So once it reaches 145, we're going to take it off the grill and we're going to let it rest 5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. Rest 5 minutes and we're ready to go. Ready to plate it.
Easy.
Ready to take some of that berry reduction and put on there and then just add the rest of, you know, finish plating it with your other side dishes and bon appetit.
Absolutely. Berry reduction. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Right.
That just sounds so good.
Yeah, we're going to have to get the doctor to try that and report, you know, our grill master in training.
That's
to try the berry reduction and get back to us on that.
Absolutely. Challenge accepted.
Yeah, all it takes is berries, water, and sugar.
Easy.
Yeah, just regular granulated sugar.
No, I can't burn that.
You can burn it.
It can burn.
But don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't burn it. All right, hey, it's time for us to take a break, but when we get back, we're going to be answering a listener question, and we're going to check in with the doctor. This is Ken from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue Restaurant, where we have created a blend of barbecue and Southern cooking. We have taken the best barbecue styles and flavors from Texas, Missouri, and the Carolinas. What food has meant to my family is a way to come together and fellowship. We invite you to come and join us. We are located at 5250 East 22nd Street in Tucson at the crossroads of Craycroft and 22nd. Call us at 520-745-4746. Come on down and get your barbecue on. Welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander, the podcast. I'm here with the doctor.
Dun, 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 dun.
And it's that time of the show
dun, dun, dun.
Where we check in and the doctor will give us the listener question.
Absolutely. This listener question comes from Billings, Montana. His name is Elijah, and Elijah's asking, what's the easiest way to grill fish? We haven't done a fish episode.
No, we have not done a fish episode, but our next episode is going to be all about grilling fish.
Oh my gosh, this guy's telepathic.
Yeah, he must be. He must be. So, but anyway, quickly though, you know, we're talking about grilling. It's going to be high heat, fast. The thing about fish is, and a lot of times where it doesn't come out right, because people leave it on the grill too long. And it, depending on what the fish is, it's two things. One is the equipment they're using, because a lot of times I've seen people trying to grill fish or whatever, and it sticks all to the grates and it gets all chopped up. And there's a few tools that you can use to make sure that your fish doesn't stick to the grill and you grill it properly. So the thing is, they have, like, I've seen, like, if you're trying to grill a whole fish, they have these little baskets shaped like a fish you could put it in.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Right. And last week when we were talking about the gifts, we talked about the grill basket.
Yeah.
There's a grill basket that you could use and you could put the fish in there.
Oh, nice.
But whatever you do, you need to make sure you lubricate. And I would say, like, with one of the Pam or something like that.
Say Pam.
One of those types of grill or skillet oils.
Yeah.
So you do not, so the meat doesn't stick to the grill.
Right.
Or the fish, the flesh doesn't stick to the grill.
Yeah.
And there's another thing. It's called, they have these little mats called copper mats. They look copper. And the color is. And then those, you can also cook fish on those, and those won't burn either.
Oh, wow.
Right. So the main thing is, make sure the fish doesn't stick to whatever you're using to cook it.
Right.
And not to leave it on the grill too long. So you just season it, season up the fish however you want, you know, and then lubricate the grill so it doesn't stick.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, whatever tool you want to use, is you're going to use one of these little copper mats. All these things you can look up on the internet.
Yeah.
And then, or you're going to use a basket, or there's different types of baskets and stuff you can use for the fish not to stick. And you can just flip this little
rotator.
Yeah. The little fish. There's a little, it has a handle on it. You take it, you lock the fish in the middle of it.
Oh, how cool.
Right. And then you just flip it over. And so there's a lot of little tools out there. You can find them at your hardware store or the big box hardware stores,
right?
Those types of things. But we are going to be talking about grilling fish next week, and we'll go into depth into grilling fish and seafood.
Can't wait.
Okay, so hopefully that helps.
Yeah.
And we really appreciate the question.
Yeah. Thank you, Elijah.
Thank you, Elijah. Well, now we're going to check in with the doctor.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dr. Andre Jones. Our grill master in training.
Ta-da.
Doctor.
Yes.
What's going on?
Well, let me tell you, and I'll tell you in story form. So, you know I love burgers.
I know you do.
I mean, I really love burgers.
Yes.
And so, it was actually this weekend. I went over and I went to the store, and I felt like a hamburger. But I didn't want like this small, dinky patty. No, I wanted something big and meaty. That's what I wanted.
All right.
And I found me a big and meaty like patty. Four of them. I was like, oh, this is perfect.
Now, these meaty patties, so are they just pre-packaged in the meat department, or are they frozen?
They are pre-packaged. They were Angus burgers.
Oh, Angus beef.
Yes.
Okay.
So I was going to test my hands on some Angus burgers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get home and I realize, like, these are pretty thick. This is going to take maybe just a little bit more time than the usual burgers that I've been, you know, been cooking, really.
All right.
So another thing that I did was I got Pam.
Okay.
I finally went out and got Pam. And I was like, you know, I'm going to try this out, because we've been talking about it for weeks. And I'm like, I'm tired of my burger sticking. You know, I'm going to try this out. So
some nonstick cooking spray.
Exactly. Exactly. So I got my Angus burgers and I was like, well, you know, I'm going to do the awesomeness of making it I think I use hickory on this one. I'm like, it's hickory flavor burgers is what we're going to use.
Okay.
So I rubbed them down with some good hickory. And ooh, I mean, I was just getting excited because it was just like smelling so good. And I'm like, this is going to be some good burgers.
Smelling good before it even hit the grill.
Pretty much. So I open up the grill, heat it up, and I throw the burgers on, and I'm listening to it, and I'm outside with my very last cream soda in my hand, because after our last episode, I realized what I have done to my body, and I'm going to have to give it up, Ken.
I'm going to have to give up the cream soda
and root beers.
You're going on the way.
Yeah. Just got to give it up, man. This is not good for me. You know, this is ripping everything away from me. Anyway, so I had on, and I was watching them cook a little bit differently, and I was noticing them that a lot more fat in this.
Okay.
However, just the way they cooked, this seemed like it cooked so much. It was faster.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like, I'm like, this actually looks like an appetizing burger. This looks like a good burger.
Yes.
I closed the lid and I went inside just to go get something real quick. And I come out and I realize that the temperature is suddenly go down. It's kind of cold outside, you know. The temperature is going down really fast. I'm like, what's going on? Why is it going down so fast?
Right.
And I happen to look over. I'm like, all the ribs that I cooked the week before used up all the propane. I'm out of propane. But luckily, I stock up in fours.
Right.
So I had four things left over. So this is a quick switch and swap. And heat right back up. Everything was fine. Burgers came out fantastic.
Sounds good,
man. And the best part was they didn't stick.
All right.
That was like the most amazing part, that they didn't stick. I was like, oh my gosh. The cleanup was easy.
Yeah.
Oh God, it was perfect. And then I also grilled a little bit of vegetables, a little salad. And I really wanted some lettuce again.
Yeah.
That grilled lettuce was just great that last time.
Yeah.
Woo.
So you grilled some lettuce for the burger?
I did. I had to. It was a last minute thing.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I took a bite, I'm like, I forgot the bacon.
Oh.
I forgot the bacon.
Yeah, it was too late.
Pretty much. I was halfway done. But man, it was super, super good. So for those who haven't gotten the PAM or the olive oil or something, just to rub it down so that way things don't stick to the...
Non-stick spray, something so things won't stick to the grates.
Absolutely. And your meat thermometer, you got to have your digital meat thermometer, because that thing saved my life, because it was... I was like, is that done? No, according to the meat thermometer, no, not yet. So it was also a lifesaver. Didn't want a pink burger. So
165.
Yes.
Man.
Yep. And we got it to about 170 and it was good to go.
Fantastic. Mm. That's great.
So that was my burger vendor. This week, it's going to be some chicken wings again.
Chicken wings. Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, we're going to be looking for that berry reduction
pretty
soon.
Yeah. Yeah. That's also on my list of things to do. And some pork chop.
Yeah, maybe for dinner this week sometime.
Exactly.
All right, doctor, we really appreciate it.
Of course.
All right, now it's time for us to take another break.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we'll be here with the Kings of Cooking.
How do we get so lucky?
Yeah. So, hey, we'll be right back.
Hey everyone, it's your favorite pit master in training, Dr. Andre Jones himself, and I'm super excited to let you know that I have my very own show. That's right, I am the host of All About the Win podcast, where myself and my fellow players interview local and national entrepreneurs about their greatest accomplishment thus far. Plus, we add a little bit of old school magic to make the stories come to life. You can check it out by going to www.allaboutthewinpodcast.com. That's www.allaboutthewinpodcast.com. And prepare to be inspired and entertained.
Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander, the podcast. I'm here with the doctor, Dr. Andre Jones, and we have our guests here today for the show.
Oh, dear.
We've got Pete and Sam.
Oh.
They're here from the Kings of Cooking.
Get out of here.
King.
Kings of Cooking.
In the building.
In the house.
Yes.
Ooh, how did we get so lucky? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. This is a food show. It's a barbecue show. Now we're blessed to have the Kings of Cooking on the show.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Royalty is here.
It's an honor.
My pleasure.
Thank you, guys.
Ken, royalties here. We didn't roll out the red carpet.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, can somebody bring in the red carpet?
Where my crown at?
Right. What kind of crown you talking about?
Don't worry about the carpet. Just have a grill. Carpet's fine. We need a grill.
All right.
We don't talk about the after party. The crown is an after party.
Right.
You know, Ken, actually, it was actually Sam here who gave me the name Doctor.
Oh, really?
Believe it or not, it was.
So that's where the Dr. Andre Jones came up with.
Yes.
All right.
Doctor. Right.
This is the man who coined the term.
This man got so much paper behind his name, man. Beautiful.
All right. Beautiful thing.
I might be out of place. The only thing I can doctor is to doctor up some meals.
Uh-oh. The grill doctor, Pistol Pete. Right.
Yeah. Hey, guys, so tell us a little bit about the Kings of Cooking.
Woo! The Kings of Cooking, man. It really started with just really a conversation, man. You know, somebody, you know, you just hanging out, and I was talking to Ron Wilson and Perry Shazier, and Ron was just telling us about this event called Real Men Cook that's in Chicago every year. Mm-hmm. And he was describing it to us, and he was like, it's like 10,000 people, but it's basically the men in the community come out and cook for the whole community and serve. And so we were like, yeah, we're going to do Real Men Cook Tucson. It's time. We're going to do it. And we're talking about like 2009, right?
Okay.
Like beginning of 2009, like a decade ago. So we were going to join Real Men Cook, and we started talking to some other brothers, and other brothers start, you know, they wanted to get in on it. And it was basically just going to be a big community barbecue. And we're going to have it in Sugar Hill at Mansfield Park. And it was going to be like, everybody bring your own grill, bring your own ice chest. And the vision was like, we're going to have like 40 grills going.
Wow. That's a big vision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. But yeah. We like, you know, if Chicago can do 10,000, you know, we can do 300, 400.
Right. We can do that.
Right.
And it was funny. I remember, you know, we had spent like 2 weeks meeting and drawing out this field, the soccer field.
Okay.
Where the DJ was going to be and where the booths were going to be and the grills and everything. Yeah. And the day of the event, you know, we got there and we got these shirts made up that said Real Men Cook. We got a little logo. We were like, cool. And some of the brothers wanted it to be like a thing, like an organization. You know, some people start, let's do 501c3 and
But most
of us were like, let's just do a cookout every year. Like, this is cool.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we showed up the day of the event, and I remember it so vividly. It was like 6 a.m. And we showed up, and instantly everybody was like, forget the map that we drew.
This is my spot.
Not gonna work.
The map had nothing to do with it. We picked a different side of the park because it was over by the Donald Lincoln Center.
Right. Uh-huh.
And we were gonna be at the field that's to the north of the center.
Right.
But when we got there, there was a basketball court. You know, it was an outside
wide
basketball
open space.
Court at Donald Lincoln Center.
Yeah,
and everybody,
yeah,
right. And there was electricity and everything.
Yeah.
And we were like, man, let's just do it right here under the basketball court. Right.
Yeah.
With a remodel, keep us cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two songs.
Yeah. Right.
That was it.
What month was this in? Are you going to do it? You doing it in?
It was Labor Day weekend.
Oh, wow.
2009.
Okay, so September. Okay. Yeah, a little warm still.
And we had it. And it was beautiful, man. We must have had like 30 different grills out there.
Wow.
Like people just pulling up in trucks, dropping their grills off. And I forget the organization.
Brothers come out the woodwork.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
And it was like, there was the public food.
Right.
Right.
They were like, we're making hamburgers and hot dogs and like ribs for everybody. And then everybody had their own little thing going.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so it was
cool.
A whole bunch of like, taste this, or try my this. You know,
everybody
was making different stuff.
You ain't like, got nothing on us.
Yeah, there was a lot of smack talking.
Yeah.
And like 4 or 5 different briskets. A dozen different slabs of ribs. It was just crazy, man.
Wow.
And we had the big, the church let us use the big smoker.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Cooking corn on the smoke. And it was just like 200-300 people and families. We had called it the Black Family Reunion. And it was just love.
Mm. Yeah.
Just at the park that day, it was so much love, man.
Yeah.
And then we came back, and I'll stop at this part of the answer, but that was the start of it. And we had been meeting at the Black Chamber on Broadway. That was really like the hub. And it was just, the meetings were so much fun, man.
Yeah.
Just
Right,
40
right.
brothers in a room just chopping it up. And you know how that is. Like, it'll be half an hour before we get to the meat.
Right.
Just enjoying the fellowship. And then we came back after the meeting, and one of the brothers was like, you know, I had got in contact with the Real Men Cook of Chicago.
Yeah, oh, really?
Yeah, and the Real Men Cook of Chicago were like, yeah, we want like $2,000 for the use of the name.
And you can
pay us every year, and you can be Real Men of Cook too, son. And we were like,
not so much.
Like, we're not making money off of this.
Right.
And we're paying for this, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, like, we're coming out of our own pockets. And not only that, like, we were given scholarships. Somebody had donated some computers. We got some computers to some college. So we're like trying to do some stuff for the community. And we were all just like, yeah, we're not paying nobody.
Right.
Yeah.
So then, you know, we were like, we got to come with a name.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we had a whole bunch of funny names. came up. And I don't even know who, I wish I knew who, but somebody was like, the Kings of Cooking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was like, yeah, that sounds good.
That does sound like a good name.
And then that was it.
So I was in on King.
All right. I'm sold. I'm sold. They got my vote.
Yep. Yeah.
So yeah, man, that's when the Kings of Cooking were born, man.
Oh, that's cool.
That's awesome.
So 2010, the next year, we just took our own name and we're like, we'll do it.
Wow.
That's great. So how did you guys get to Tucson?
Like, personally?
Personally, yeah.
Oh, man, what brought you to Tucson? I'm second generation.
Second generation.
So yeah, my daddy's from Sugar Hill, went to Tucson High, class of 60. My family's here. You know, my dad went to Spring. And Tucson High, and my family's just from here, man. I was born in the city, what we call the city on the West Coast, San Francisco, because my father had met my mom in San Francisco and stuff. I was born there, but then when I was five, we moved back here, so I grew up here.
So
and I claim Tucson, and I love Tucson. All y'all Tucson haters up.
It's something about this show, man, that we kind of like only draw Sugar Hill people.
Right. So anyway, I agree with this.
Around town,
don't worry,
man.
We about to break that, bro.
All right. I was hoping that, you know, when I go over here to Pete, we're getting somebody from another part of Tucson.
Bro, we got somebody from another part of the country.
Oh, really?
I came here from North Carolina, bro.
Oh, wow.
Kakilek, as they call it, North Click.
Right.
You know, I'm on military, boy. You know, I came here, met my wife, and there you go, bam. I did a lot of stuff with Sugar Hill because I got like, where the brothers at? Football thing and all that on Turkey Day out Thanksgiving.
Right.
Yeah. I go down to little clubs on that side of town, shoot everything over here. So I met folks over there, start hanging out at the park. It was called Northwest Inn, wasn't it?
Northwest Center.
So I go and slap some ping pong around, set my grill out back. And the boy told me, man, you that boy, you pissing, man. Go by the grill, dog. We don't need to have another drama. go by the grill, bro.
Yeah.
We good. A couple times at the grill, and the boy took me in, and there you go. Since then, before that's when I got here in 79. Yeah, bro, I've been that bitch.
Wow.
When Reed Park had a little circle where you drive through.
Yeah.
I'll be out there Sunday, boys, kind of, Force boys, man, go by the grill, dog. Go by the grill, bro. By the time they go by the grill, it's on, bro. I was good out of that. Now they see me, P, man, where you been? I'm still here, bro. I told y'all I was getting up out of here. Couldn't do it.
Yes, sir. Love you.
Oh, that's cool. So you mentioned as far as how you guys got started, and then you mentioned like a charity part of this whole. I mean, what is it that you guys really saw as far as the need in Tucson to even just come up with the idea and bring it all together?
The biggest thing is that we are, you know, a real integrated city compared to some other places as far as the Black community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we on the north side, the east side, south side, you know. And like one of the things I always talk about is that I grew up in the neighborhood, and you know, shout out to A Mountain, shout out to South Park, shout out to Western Hills, to 29th, to all of our Jollyville, shout out to all our neighborhoods, 10th Avenue projects back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But like, as we all spread out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you leave the neighborhood, because everybody's, you know, your mission is like, I got to get out of here.
Right.
You know, unfortunately.
Right.
Which just furthers the gentrification. But like, you know, I'm going to move to the east side. I'm moving north side, move somewhere else, you know, where it's safer, where I don't have to deal with the stuff I dealt with growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is we're not in close proximity to each other.
Yeah.
So now we got to work harder to keep our community tight knit.
Right.
So that's where, you know, that's one of the needs. One of the major needs is like, where does the Black community live?
Mm.
The Black community lives at Juneteenth, at MLK.
Yeah.
You know, at Ken's Barbecue, like at these places or these events. Like if you're not creating that in a city like this, the community goes away. Cause we not, you can't just go to the neighborhood no more.
Right.
So I think that was a major impetus. I had a big fight the first year because some of the brothers wanted to do it at Reed Park. And I was like, no, let's do it on Sugar Hill. Like I said, at least do it in the neighborhood. Right. You know?
And me not being from here, that was a totally different ball game. I'm like, we need mentorship. So my part came in where we need mentorship. We got all, I said, where are the black people at? What are we doing? Yeah. Why are we doing something over here and over there when we can all be in one place doing it together? Yeah. So I go to, I'm a deacon of Rising Star Missionary Baptist Church.
Okay. Oh, wow.
We believe in bringing folks and training folks and dealing with folks. I'm like, man, I see them doing over here and over there. Why aren't we all doing it all together in one place?
Yes,
so when I met these brothers, like, okay, these brothers are down, let's do this. So we start, that's why we want to do the scholarship thing. The school thing, the mentor piece. Man, I've been downtown with some of these boys looking 2-3 years in jail. Don't know them from Man on the Moon. But I'm like, we can't have this.
Right.
And I'm like, there's many brothers in the community. Why are we doing this?
Right.
So that's why I came in. I'm like, come on, brother, fellas, we can't. You know, and I know food brings everybody together.
Right. Yeah, okay, bro. Absolutely. Like,
let's bring out the smokers and the grills.
Yeah.
Let's get them out here, give out a couple laptops here and there and let them know we're here. If you need help with school, you need mentoring, you need whatever. There's places that's got this.
Yeah.
So we need to put this together so they know this and put it out there like this under one umbrella.
Yeah.
Instead of over here doing theirs.
Right.
Well, I don't like them because I remember them Sugar Hill and I didn't know about Western Hill, Sugar Hill, none of all that.
Right.
I'm like, bro, look, that ain't got nothing to do with Pete. so let Pete help y'all with this.
Right.
I come from the South where, you know what, we were community. It took a village to raise a family, so let's do the village thing.
Yeah.
And if you don't like me, well, I'm going to put on my cowboy hat and tell you, you ain't got to like me. don't make no never mind. But if you want to eat some of my food, you want to sit down for a couple minutes and listen.
That's
right.
So
that's right.
So we partnered up, man, and there you go.
Yeah.
And those pieces, that was a big piece, man. And I remember, Pete, we used to push that so much, the mentoring piece. Really, the first year was like a free-for-all. You know, we just having a cookout.
Right.
The second year, we really start talking about, like, how can we do something with this, right?
Sure.
And so we hooked up with the U of A, and we were like, we need all the new black students.
Oh.
You just moved here. You don't know nobody.
Great.
So our honored guest of the second cookout was, like, all the black students at the U of A.
Oh, how awesome.
You from North Carolina, you from wherever, like, come meet the community,
Oh, awesome.
So that was, like, the first piece, like, Pete was talking about, like, here's a place where you can meet everybody. And you could plug into the community.
Bring your family so they know these things are out there for you.
Yeah.
And because you're away from home don't mean you can't have a home.
Right.
Yeah. That's cool. All right, well, hey, it's time for us to take a break. And when we return, we'll be back here with Pete and Sam of the Kings of Cooking.
Woo!
We'll be right back.
Hey, Tucson, do you have a hankering for some good old down-home cooking? Well, you're in luck. Along with our award-winning barbecue, we have Southern Fried Catfish, mac and cheese, collard greens, fried okra, peach cobbler, sweet potato pie, and much more. 745-4746. That's 745-4746. Or visit our website. Come on down to Kent's Hardwood Barbecue and get your barbecue on.
Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander, the podcast. I'm here with the doctor, Dr. Andre Jones. And we're sitting here with Sam and Pete of the Kings of Cooking.
What up?
All right. Hey, so what about the folks that have never experienced the Kings of Cooking event? What, you know, so when you come out these days, and I know, and we'll talk a little bit about all this COVID stuff or whatever, but let's talk about pre-2020, you know, and what we can expect when all this stuff is over. What can we expect? What kind of experience can we expect at a Kings of Cooking event?
I'll talk a little bit about the event, but I think, Pete, you go first, man, because it starts with food.
So here's the deal, bro. So we know everybody's on lockdown.
Yes, sir.
So as they come out, they're going to want to run out in droves.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? We got a couple of different parks. We got the Quincy Douglas Center. We got Willie Blake Park that we can do a big community event that will hold 1,000. And we got the pig roast, and I got that covered. We're talking pig roast. We're talking major barbecue. We talk about dude just
putting out. I'm building some things right now.
All
right. So that we can have a pig on this thing, we can have a goat in the middle, and we can have an alligator on the other side.
Wow.
I just went to Houston to figure that out. Yes, sir. That's what we're doing.
Gator.
And that's Pistol Pete's backyard barbecue stuff y'all hearing. But guess what? Guess what? I'm with the king. So if I got it, the king's got it. And there we go. Yeah, now we're talking deep fried turkey. Mm-hmm. Man, we're talking about the whole deal. Smoked turkey, deep fried turkey, roast pig. We talking about some smorgasbord, baby.
Right.
I'm a boy that hunt. We talking about a little deer meat over here for those that want to try some things.
Uh-huh.
You know, so we can have the gator. We can have the deer. We can have the elk. All y'all that want to, the adventurers want to try something. There you go.
Yeah.
If y'all just like us, we got the pig roast. And we can cut them any way you like.
Yeah,
and then we got normal hot dog, hamburgers, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah,
but we're going to have turkeys frying. And, bro, we getting ready for this because we know about July. I'm thinking around July somewhere, this thing going to bust open. And guess what? We're prepping right now. So when it busts open, we need about 2 weeks to say, let's do this. Let's put this down. We're going to do 1,000. And we got a couple of places already set. Willie Blake Park, Quincy Douglas Center. We can go out there and bust it up.
Wow.
And we ready to roll.
And that was one of the main things, man, is like, it's easy to do hamburgers and hot dogs.
Right.
After the third year, we're like, okay, so everybody has gotten bigger now. So we're like, we're not just going to bring different grills. We're going to bring out our grills and we're going to feed the community. It was real apparent. We like a few $100 hamburgers and hot dogs. You talking about $1,000 more for real food.
Yeah.
You come to the King, you get some greens.
Wow.
Get some macaroni cheese. You get some
beans.
Come
on, baby. Come on. Grandma stuff, baby.
Yeah, so some brisket. I mean, you getting a real meal at the Kings of Cooking. And it ain't hamburgers and hot dogs.
Okay, so that's a lot of food. Who are these other kings helping you out, Pete?
Yeah.
Oh, bro, we got the brothers. We 30, 40 deep.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Guess what? They like old Pete, man. We got a crew, baby.
Wow.
Okay.
And guess what?
Yeah, it's about 40. What is it about?
Show,
about?
I got three of us.
Yeah. It's
that about, can get out there and do it.
Yeah,
about 7 or 8 cooking and about 30 doing the rest of the
the rest of everything else in the background.
30 supervising.
We didn't figure it out. We didn't figure it out who should be on the grill.
You're right.
A handful cooking and the rest of them like.
You know,
your
family barbecue, what happened?
Right.
You got a couple over there doing the work.
Yeah.
And the rest kind of doing other stuff.
And I guess the what's dope, man, is, you know, if you've never been to a Kings of Cooking event, so we always have music. You got to have music at the club.
Yeah. Right.
We always got the domino table, the spades table. There's always some games going on. We make it a point every year.
Whiz, man.
We do beer whiz, whatever people want to do. Absolutely.
Right, I mean, you're
about to offend.
I mean,
Ken.
But you know.
Don't offend him.
Don't call out no king. They might take care of you.
All right.
But you know, you play beer whiz for like 5-6 hours.
Yeah.
Slow down. So. We always have kid events.
Yeah,
somebody in charge of, like, the kids go to a certain area and play.
Yeah,
little competitions and stuff for the kids.
Sure.
We always have a, like, get to know the Kings little reward and raffle thing. So you get a little card, right? That's your meal ticket. And then you might get another little card that's get to know the Kings.
Right.
And so all the Kings, we always got a shirt. You always gonna wear your Kings of Cooking shirt. And then if you take your little card around to all the brothers in the shirt, you got to find out what the clue is about which king.
Yeah.
So you might be, I grew up in Sugar Hill. So you know, you gotta walk around. Oh, did you grow up in Sugar Hill? Nah, what's your name? So it forces people to interact.
Nice. Right,
right. Sort of meet the Kings, you know what I mean? And then you get like a prize, you know, you fill out the card, right? And then we have another thing for the kids that's a scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
And so we give the kids a little card, same kind of thing, right? And the kids get to go around to the different tables and try to find the clues. And the clues are basically information about like Black history in Tucson.
Cool. Yeah.
So now we kind of pushing the kids to get educated about our community. You got to learn about our community.
Yeah.
And then the kids get excited and they walking around the tables and now it's making them meet people.
Right.
And interact. Right.
Right.
And then the kids get excited because we give out money, cash money and stuff.
Oh,
that's
cool.
Always real fun.
Some
gifts or some cash money. And then the best part is your meal ticket. And so we always have vendors out there, different organizations, different private people, you know, that's selling stuff. They get tables for the event. So you get your meal ticket, you have to go to different tables and get the answers to those different businesses.
Cool.
So you can get your meal ticket stamp with the Kings of Cooking stamp.
Right.
If you don't have enough stamps, you don't get to eat.
That's kind of cold, but hey.
Right. No, but it's great because you're forcing everyone to get to know all the businesses and all the Black businesses here in town.
That's right.
That's perfect.
You got to meet some Black businesses. You got to meet some Black nonprofits.
Right.
And you can't just come eat.
Right.
You got to put in your work.
Yeah.
That's your meal ticket.
Well, and guess what? That's what we draw all the churches in. Come on out here.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Just the last piece is just the entertainment. You know, we got to have entertainment. So like You know, the kids will come out. Last year, we had the Steppers from Holiday Elementary School.
Oh, how cool.
The little step squad. They came out and did their thing. We had this drummer. I forget the brother's name, but he came out with like 30 drums.
Right.
And so he's giving every kid a drum, and everybody's sitting there drumming. He's teaching everybody the little rhythms.
How cool.
It was so powerful, man. So just having that entertainment piece, man, is beautiful. That's how we do, you know. We want to have fun and dance and move.
Right, and bringing everyone together for that same reason.
Under the same umbrella. We ain't all over the place.
Yeah.
All right, in one place. Right. And now TPD is up in on it, because guess what? I hauled them and ate my ribs last year. No, y'all in, bro. Y'all in. All them ribs, y'all ain't.
We don't never have to worry about security. At the
all them ribs, y'all ain't, bro. We're meeting with them, having informants about how they're going to police us now that all this stuff is going on. And, bro, we've been meeting for a few months now.
That's great.
And so that's community, baby. That's community taking care of community.
Yeah.
And that's what, King, I think that's the core of who we are, what we do. Let's promote some positive stuff. Let's be proactive. Let's not wait till something happening. We're all around here mad and crazy. Let's do some things beforehand. Let these kids know what they can do, what's in front of them, what's available to them, and just touch bases with the resources.
Yeah, so I would say, like, okay, so you guys had this big event, and, you know, after it's over, what happened that, and then you guys are, you know, back at, you know, the next meeting, whatever, and say, man, that was a big success. That was huge. We did everything. We accomplished everything we wanted to accomplish. What is that?
I think, you know, every year got bigger.
Yeah.
So the second year was like 500 people. And the third, fourth, fifth year were really the biggest. 800, 900 people came out throughout the day.
Right, right.
And it was just, you could feel it. You know, we had, I want to say our seventh to eighth year, it was hard, because I think what happens is sometimes with leadership, people have their own lives and things happen. And then sort of the Black Chamber shut down, and that was like our hub. Like that's where we met and planned and everything. So we skipped a year. It just kind of fizzled.
Ooh,
you know,
the momentum just.
Yeah. And that was hard, man. That was really hard. And then we just kept having these phone calls and these group texts like, man, we, you know, what's going to happen? Shout out Willie Beelan, man, just one of our original kings. Just something was going on with him, and just a lot of things happened at once. And we came back together and we're like, I'll never forget. Willie Beelan said, you know, we ain't got no place to meet. The chamber's done. He said, we can meet at my house.
Yeah.
He said, I'm a cook. Yeah. I'll throw down for everybody, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, five of us showed up at Willie's house. And he said, you always think about those moments where, like, the whole thing could have died.
Right.
That evening, we were like, no, we doing it. No, yeah. If it's just us five, we doing it.
Right.
And so it was slow going. You know, the next year we came back, it was like we starting over.
Right.
Yeah, it was like 100 people. And the next year, it was like 200 people. We did it at the Dunbar, and it rained. It was like the first year. Terrible. We had this whole plan of where everything was going to be. We actually, the Kings donated a gate to Dunbar to be put in so you could walk in between the building and the basketball court.
Oh, okay.
Right? And that was our way of paying the Dunbar for using the space. We were going to contribute to make the space better, right? And we were going to have the basketball court and the end, and people were going to walk around. And then it rained that morning. So we were like, we got to do it.
It was
so bad.
Cold.
We had to do an auditorium inside, right? And so we did it. It was cool, but a lot of people stayed away.
Right.
But you still did it.
We still did it. There was no way we were not going to do it. And it was still cool. It was still, you know, 200, 250 people. Last year, we did it at Quincy Douglas. You know, we were like, we got to move around. Let's do it in different Black spaces.
Yeah.
We're going to do it in Quincy Douglas. And it was beautiful. It was like 400 people again, right, last year. And this, of course, this year, we're like, yeah, we're going to get back in 2020. And then,
2020.
But that's okay. Because 2021's coming.
It's coming. Yep. But I think the biggest thing is that it's gotten better every year. When we come back afterward, you know, what did we learn? Mm-hmm. What could have gotten better? And now after doing it for 8-9 years, we like the formula's down.
Right.
And so, I think the most important thing is when it's over, what did we not do right? Yeah, that's the most important thing. What did we not get right?
Yeah, after action report.
What did we not get right? What did we not do? What could we have done better for the next time?
And there's some hurt feelings sometimes.
Yeah.
That
get rough. Yeah, they get a little rough.
Sam, the way that you cook those briskets were not as good as we normally have it. We're taking you off of briskets.
I wish it was that nice.
It was that easy. We switch your Pete, you do the briskets, you do your Sam, do the ribs. We good.
But you know, we all love each other, man. So it's all love. So we can, when you love your brother, you can tell him like, man,
right.
you did this, you did that, you know.
Yeah.
So it's accountability.
I think
that's how we get better, man. you know, there's a lot of people that are, you know, you talk behind other people's backs and complain about stuff. The way we make each other better, we talk to each other. We tell each other, like, hey, man, that's, yeah, the brisket was.
Right, bro, hey, what was wrong that day? What was going on with you, man?
Right. Yeah, that's right. Real.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, you know, when we first started this conversation, Pete said that the reason he joined had to do with the kids and mentoring. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about how you work with the kids.
Well, there's a few groups in town already doing mentoring programs. And our whole point is not to reinvent all this. Absolutely. Join in with them and help our kids get in those things. So I've been mentoring kids for about 10 years now. Mm-hmm. I've had a couple sets of brothers here and there. They stayed here till they moved. I keep them for 2 or 3 years. So what we like to do is a contract. Okay, parents, y'all got to be in with us. Schools got to understand we'll be coming there because we go check on at school. Those kind of things.
Okay, so when you say we,
There's a group of us.
Oh, okay.
There's a group of us. So,
but
like
a
I said,
group of you in the Kings or a group of you in this other
There's probably 8 to
10
of us in the King, and then there's many in the others.
All right. So you guys have just taken some folks from the Kings. And
we can go get the training from the other groups. Yeah. Then the schools can tell us from those groups, hey, we got 5 boys over here that need me.
That's awesome.
So we go to Booth Fickett, we go wherever. And then we says, okay. Then we, okay, I'm usually point of contact, call me. What you got? 3 boys. How old are they? Okay, Sam, who we got that's not working with anybody right now?
Right.
And initially what I'll do is probably take them for the first 30 days or so, find out the family dimensions, you know, all that kind of stuff. What's going on with them? Why they need a mentor? So we know what we're dealing with. And then we try to sit down and do a meeting with the mom. Look, are you willing for us to do this? Because we're in this for 6 months to a year. So don't call me next week telling me you don't want to do this no more.
Right.
Because you're wasting everybody's time. It's not fruitful for the child. It's hurtful for the child.
Right.
And doing him a disservice.
Yeah.
Right. So let's do this. If we're in this, I sit down, son, look, I'm a little rough sometimes. But I need you to know, if you're going to learn how to be a man, I'm a man.
Right.
You're going to get man, what you see, what you get. Now, I'm going to love you to death. I will never do nothing to hurt you or harm you. But when you got it coming, I will discipline you like you're my own. Mm-hmm. You need to understand this. And I'm taking them to my house, and that's fine. Yeah. But they just need to know who they're dealing with. And that's just who we are as men.
Yeah,
when we see our black kids not being raised by men, and I tell the guys, if your heart ain't in it, don't even come over here, go help Sam cook.
Right.
Don't come on this side. You can't do this. Go help Sam
cook. Sam cook.
Help Sam cook.
Like we did last year in the spring, we took about 12 boys fishing.
Oh, yeah, man. We
out to Lakeside Park.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of them, first time they'd ever fished in their life.
Right.
But it was the Kings of Cooking. You know, we partnered with Trinity Missionary with the Rites of Passage program. And we took the boys out cooking. And it was like, you know, on the grill too, like see what's happening. Help serve the food.
Right.
And we're going to go down there and teach you how to fish. Right. Some of the boys caught fish. It's the most beautiful thing.
Oh, they're sure they're excited.
So just opening experiences, you know, to young men that they might not have. So that's dope.
Yeah. Awesome. So when you have your Kings of Cooking events, do you ever have any other kids joining, helping or anything like that? Or
whoever I got, go stand beside me by the grill.
That's
where I'm at, bro.
Okay.
This is what we do.
And clean up. That's one thing we always tell the young people. Like, hey, even when we're doing it, when we're doing the little scavenger, at the end of the event, I need all of y'all back up here to help clean. And it's beautiful to see the kids really respond to that.
Sure.
This is a community. We all got to pitch in. Mm-hmm. You got to eat. You got to have fun. Give me 5-10 minutes of your time, help clean up.
Yeah.
And the cleanup happens quick because you got 50 kids running around picking up trash, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we try to build in some accountability that that's definitely the kids' job every year.
Got it.
So tell us how folks can get involved with the Kings of Cooking.
So there's a Facebook page. So if you want to find our Facebook page, Kings of Cooking, you can always email us, kingsofcooking@gmail.com. It's kingsofcooking@gmail.com. Like I said, we're not an organization. So like there's no phone number to call. There's no website. I would say email us, find us on Facebook if you want to be involved.
Give me that email address again.
Yeah, so kingsofcooking@gmail.com.
Oh. With no G, right?
No G on cooking.
Kings of Cooking.
Cooking.
Yeah. Cooking.
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 Yeah,
all right. @gmail.com.
So when you guys are doing drive-bys, and I know you guys have scholarships, you have all these things. So I'm coming by to get food. So how is it that I help you with these?
There's a box sitting out. You can drop a gift or a scholarship. You can drop a request. Hey, my kid needs this or that. There's a box with all that. You put it, we go through it, we're over. And then if you leave your name and your phone number so we can get a hold of you. And then after that, okay, ma'am, I saw that you dropped this. Mm-hmm. You said your kid needs a mentor because we tell them we do mentor, we do this, do that. So your request was for a mentor. Who are you? Where are you at? Mm-hmm. How old is your son? What school does he go to? Right. Are you willing? Are you willing to do this 6-month deal before we start this?
Okay. Right.
What are your real needs? And then, you know, once we make the initial contact, generally I'll make the initial contact because I do this thing. I worked at the Social Security office till about 3 weeks ago. I retired. I see them all with all the different stuff. So I pick it out pretty easily.
Right.
And then what I do is I'll make the initial contact. Then I say, Sam, this is perfect for Perry because I know these guys.
Right.
This will be perfect for Perry. This will be perfect for Ron. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we'll team everybody up. Sit down and go through it. If that works, it works. But again, back to your question, the drive-by is where we put a box out. You can ask for a certain situation that you got that you need help with, or you can drop a donation.
You can donate money.
Either way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just get with us if you want to donate. Everybody donates, and it's always amazing the day of the event, people always come up and just, hey, I want to contribute.
Oh, so what awesome. Y'all doing?
But Pete reminded me of something before we get off. So in the spring, we're doing something we never did before. The Buffalo Soldiers of Southern Arizona have challenged the Kings of Cooking to a cook-off.
No way. Whoa. So
we're going to do a drive-by. We're going to do a drive-by cook-off. It's going to be like blind taste test. You're going to get
the little mini plate.
We're not sure yet how we're going to do it.
Well, if you're the judges, I'll be more than happy.
Uh-oh. All right,
judge. Oh, wow.
We're already happy to be a judge.
Ken's hardwood, baby.
Ken knows barbecue.
He going to be hard on you, Appreciate you.
I've been watching enough of these competition shows.
There you go.
He going to be hard on you.
I'll be more than happy to be on your judge's panel.
I love it.
He's going
to
be your Simon on American Idol, though.
They were like, yeah, we're going to put our best three against your best three. I said, bring it on, man. We got Pistol Pete in the pocket.
Y'all better come on.
There you go.
Wow.
We got a Jordan George over from the booth. You know, they in trouble.
Yeah.
Hey,
they in trouble.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
Look forward to it. So what about, you know, there's a bunch of folk, man, you know, I'd say a bunch, but there's probably some folks and maybe some of our listeners that are saying, you know, I think I could cook, and I'm really interested in what these Kings of Cooking are doing. I really like what they're all about. So how do they contact you and say, can you guys consider us to be a king, you know, in your organization? How do you guys handle that?
So far, it's always been word of mouth.
Yeah.
You know, people have come through, usually through other kings.
Yeah.
But if you're interested, if you come from out of town, you come from the military, I would say the email is the best way to get us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because there's different of us that'll check the email. But I would say email us, man. Just let us know. We're Kings of Cooking, but at our core, it is an opportunity for men to serve the community.
Yeah.
But we've always had female partners and collaborators.
We work at schools. We work at different jobs. Mm-hmm. We're in places.
Yeah. If you're a woman out there listening, like, please, if you want to be involved in the event, please, like, hit us up. Be part of the event. Michaela Baker was one of our key contributors last year, put together the games for the kids, help promote the event. So, you know, we always want collaborations with everybody. But if you are serious and you want to work a show.
Now, if you're real serious, I don't do all the texts. I'm 62, man. I just retired. Y'all can call me. My phone number is on my Pistol Pete's Backyard Business. Yeah. That number is 520-401-3366. I can connect you to churches, to funeral homes, to this, to that, all these different kind of needs you got. Usually I can do it, but don't waste my time, please. If you need it for real, I'm in. But when I'm in, I'm all in.
And we got a motto, Ken, is we need your time, your money, or both.
Yeah.
So if you want to just contribute, you know, the dues are $60 a year. We just, you know, for the Kings of Cooking.
Yeah.
Once we all put in $60, we got enough money for the event. And then we'll get donations from other entities too. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, if you're going to put in your $60 and help pay for the food, cool. If you don't have $60, but you want to come to the meetings and help plan and put in work, that's cool. We prefer both.
Yeah.
But if you give your time or your money, that'd be cool.
All right. So, yeah, before we let you guys go, again, you know, it's been a real privilege. Do you have any tips or anything for our listening audience? Or, you know, what any last words for our listening audience?
People, listen. In this day and time with all the things going on, there are people that are hurting. They need us. In more than one way, any way you can serve someone, please do. And by all means, be safe as you do it. There's no hurry to run back out here and do things, but we can do things in a fashion. So if you're trying to do something for your family and you got 20 or 30 of them and it's not safe together like that, I'm more than happy to help you do a drive-by fashion at your own house.
Mm-hmm.
We can say, well, they ain't got to come in, everybody sit around, but they can come and wave across the street. We've done it several times already. It's been proven, tried, and tested. I know it works. So If you're in one of those kind of predicaments, don't let this lockdown get you locked down. Mm. Don't let it get you depressed and discouraged, because come spring, when this thing breaks open, the Kings of Cooking gonna break it open. Mm-hmm. And you can help us in any way you want. But my main thing is, be kind. Folks are getting rude and nasty and mean because they're locked in. They're feeling locked up. That's not how it has to be. There's a way to skin a cat. There's more than one way to skin a cat. Yeah. If you don't know how to skin a cat, call me and I'll help you skin it.
Peter skin and cook anything. I'll just say, man, like, take care of yourself. You know, if you're out there listening, even as you're taking care of other people, you know, when they say drop the oxygen mask, put your oxygen on first.
Right.
You know, be mindful of your own emotions, of your own mental health,
of
your own physical health. If you're sitting at home and you getting that COVID-15 around the waist, you know, you don't have to go to a gym. You don't got to run every day. Like, just walk every evening. Mm-hmm. Go take a walk. Just take care of yourself. You know, we want to eat good, right? But you got to treat your body good. You got to treat your mind good and your soul well. So I'll just say, mostly, man, take care of yourself. Challenge yourself. Don't just stay at home. Challenge yourself. If you're an introvert, go outside. Go to one of these events. Meet other people. You know, when the world starts opening up, if there's Zoom opportunities, get on a Zoom and meet some people. We got an open mic at Hush Social Club every second Sunday. So next Sunday, 5 to 7 o'clock, it's on Zoom. I won't give out all the information on here, but if you go to Facebook, if you go to anywhere on Black Tucson, meet yourself. Being Black in Tucson, you can find the flyer. You can go to the Hush Social page website on Facebook and find the flyer. Jump on with us. We got poems and songs, and sometimes people just tell stories. It's my favorite day of the month. It's beautiful. But like, open yourself up to those kinds of things, because that's where our community lives, in those events and those opportunities. So don't stay in your house, and especially don't stay in your house griping on Facebook, on Instagram about how much you hate Tucson. Ain't nothing going on in Tucson. Mm-hmm. And you ain't getting out doing nothing. So the city gonna be what we make it.
Mm. So, yeah, but if I may, prayer is always ordered for me. If that's not offensive to anyone here, I'd like to just pray real quickly.
Hey, you're a guest, man.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you right now saying thank you. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to reach out to the community and let them know that you are still in charge. Lord, we want them to know that they can have peace in their own little quiet place. But if there's a need, that they need someone to reach out, because there's folks there that's ready, willing, and able that would come to their rescue. So Lord, right now, just you just shine your light on each and every one in this room, their families, and the whole Tucson community, so that they know they're not alone in this. And that you have someone standing by waiting for them at this very moment, even right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to thank you guys for coming out, spending the time with us, and sharing the story of Kings of Cooking, Pete and Sam, with our listeners. It's been a great conversation. I think you guys are doing a really, I say, fabulous thing around town, bringing the community together. And certainly, that's what we need, especially in these times.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, you know, hats off to the Kings of Cooking.
Yeah.
And make sure you know, let all your brothers, all your other that, you know, hey, we really enjoy and we really like what you guys are doing for the community, the Black community here in Tucson.
Thank you, sir. Absolutely. We're in it to win it.
Thank you,
sir. We're in it to win it.
Absolutely. Shout out. You know, I got to do shout outs.
Shout out.
Yeah. Shout out. Ron Wilson, Perry Shazier, mother co-founders of the Kings. Shout out, you know, Clarence Boykin, Willie Beelan, Pistol Pete, Pedro Washington. Shout out Paul Appleby, Willie Brown, Paul Brown, just all the Kings, Michela Baker. All the people who just put in their heart and soul, man, to make this thing.
Ron Burton, we didn't forget you. I see you pouting already.
Our MC, I know. Ron was talking smack. He was going to come today, but that's our MC, Ron Burton, every year.
Yeah.
Just really putting in work. Just, it's a community thing, man. Mm. It's not, you know, me and Pete are here, but we represent a lot of people. So shout out to all of y'all. If I miss anybody, my apologies. We love you. And just thank you all for making this possible.
Awesome. Do you want me to go out and get the red carpet so that way as they're leaving?
On the red carpet. At least the Kings can walk out with the red carpet.
Exactly. As I failed to pull it out in the beginning. I'll go ahead and do it out.
We're humble, brother. We don't need all right. We're good.
All right. Hey, thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you for inviting us, my brother.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thank you very much for listening to today's show. We have some great guests coming up, so please listen in. You can hear Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor.fm, Spotify. You can also hear it on our website at kenshardwoodbbq.com and just click podcast. Thank you, and we'll be talking to you next week.